now. Very good morning to you. Welcome into today's program with you right through until 12 midday. Today, we've got a new player in the field. He joins us in studio. Today, also, we're looking at a number of other issues, including the Minister for State and Business. Neil Richmond joins us. We'll be looking at the increased cost of business, but we'll also be talking to him about will he get that senior cabinet position. Today, on today's program, also, we're looking at the whole Gaza situation and other information coming into us overnight there. We'll be keeping a very close eye on that. We've got finance with Dave McCarthy on today's program. We're also looking and speaking with Professor Patrick Mitchell about asthma today and all that goes with it. That and more between now and 12 midday. Just don't go anywhere else. A very good Wednesday morning to you. Oh, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. There's a new player on the field when it comes to politics in Galway City, and the Galway City Council could change following his election indeed in June of this year. Kenny Deary, who's sitting opposite me today, the former or outgoing chief executive of Galway Chamber. Kenny, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
In all the years I've known you, what made you decide to go into politics, for God's sake?
Well, I think you're sick looking at me and listening to me coming in and out here over the last 5 years and many topics that we've talked about, Keith, in terms of Galway. And I think, first off, as you and I both know, it's an amazing place to live. But there are challenges, and those challenges need to be addressed.
And are you frustrated by those challenges?
Absolutely frustrated. And, you know, you can push a rock up a hill for so long. There's a lot of items that we've been lobbying on through my role in the Chamber, and indeed many individuals over the years. If you look at plans and projects for Galway, the same projects, the same ideas are in documents going back 20 years, 25 years ago, and so, unfortunately they still haven't been delivered.
So are you saying politically then people haven't delivered?
Politically, some people are really, really trying their best, and I think that's a very fair statement. However, there are others that aren't, and that really leads to a dysfunctionality in the way that our City Council in particular has operated. In my time in this particular role, observing some of the dialogues, some of the meetings, some of the behaviours, it's just utterly frustrating. And from a business community point of view, business leaders can only look and observe for so long, and they really do get frustrated. And it's impacting, I believe, investment in our city. And if we don't bring some change about, and I think that's the real opportunity here, is come the June election, those listening to your programme this morning and those with a vote in Galway, or those that aren't yet registered but have a vote, have a real opportunity to drive change in terms of who they elect to City Hall. And I think many look at the system through a fatigued lens, and they say, well, what power have councillors really? My main observation is councillors have the power to block and to hold things back. And what we need to do is change that dialogue and make sure that our councillors are actually a motion for change and to help drive projects forward and drive the city forward. And if it's a case that there are some wonderful officials and staff within City Hall, but there are others that do need to be challenged. And unfortunately, the councillors haven't done that in recent years, and that needs to change.
And are you going as an independent, or are you going with a party?
No, I'm going as an independent. I believe that's the best approach. And really, it's about being that voice who has been frustrated on one side of the fence maybe over the last couple of years, and really tried to drive things forward with the support of a board, with the support of a huge membership. The organisation that I've had the privilege of working in for the last 5 years employs over 30,000 people in the city. We really do understand what the issues are. I understand what the issues are, but unfortunately we're not able to battle through them. And my hope and expectation, and my hope with the goodwill of the people of Galway and the people of Knocknacarra, Salt Hill and Taylor's Hill, is that if I do get elected, and it's a very competitive field, to be fair, there are other good candidates there, but we need to work collectively to drive change for Galway and to challenge those issues.
But can I go back to your decision? Because, I mean, you made the decision not to renew your contract with Galway Chamber recently. Is that because you want to be successful in politics?
Yes, yes. And we need strong...
So you've forfeited a very successful career with the Chamber, and you have their backing?
Yes. And indeed, I was delighted this morning. We were joined by, I would say, over 50% of the board of Galway Chamber who were able to make it this morning. A lot of people are travelling. Our president was there proudly, along with a large group of people from the constituency, but from right across the city, and indeed people from outside of Galway as well, who travelled to be there this morning in Salt Hill and to support this launch.
And where did you launch it, and what time?
Launched it just at the steps across from the Blackrock Cottage. So people were gathering from 7 a.m. this morning.
And you were up early.
They were up early. They were indeed, and thankfully the weather gods. Yes, thankfully the weather gods were really helpful. And I live just across the road from there, so the commute for me wasn't huge.
You could leave the car at home. Can I go back though to being an independent? Mm. I mean, would you not be better off, or would you feel constrained if you were part of a political party?
I think there's a lot of change coming in politics, and I think if we're looking at what has been happening over the last couple of months in the parties, sometimes you can be constrained within a party in terms of your dialogue and how honest you can be and what you want to say.
So would you, well, you say you won't be constrained, that's the problem.
I won't be constrained. And this is not about running for a seat in Galway City Council for the sake of having a seat or holding it for years. I really want to get in there and try and be helpful. Be helpful driving change.
But are you saying those that are in there and sitting in there currently are not?
I'm saying that I think a sense of fatigue and a sense of laissez-faire has set in with some. I think that would be a very honest comment. There are some really good people in there. But sometimes in any role, no matter what organisation you're in, if you're in a role 15, 20, 25 years, sometimes you do become used of and accepting of standards that maybe aren't what others would call quality. And I really, really think that we need to begin to freshen up the representatives that we have across the city in our and across the county as well, yeah, in our political dialogue. And I think, you know, if we're looking at representation in general in the west of Ireland, I really do think the voters have a big decision to make coming into June, and indeed coming in, it's the year of elections over the next 12 months, in terms of who they put forward to represent them. We need honesty. We definitely, from a Galway point of view, and one thing that I'm absolutely, and it's interesting, I do believe government and government parties agree with this as well, but unfortunately it was blocked many years ago by councillors in Galway City Council and County Council. We definitely need to see back on the table the amalgamation of our two local authorities. That's critical. We don't have the population to support two local authorities. Two HQs less than a kilometre away from each other, where you have huge duplication of really good people. In many cases, there are some brilliant people working in both
local authorities.
I think the merger should be back on the table, and I think there's political will at that. My engagement in my role as CEO of the Chamber has been with a lot of senior ministers on this topic, and at a government level, they're frustrated because delivery in Galway has been an embarrassment to government. And ministers have been frustrated at the fact that we haven't been able to deliver. If you look in the last three decades, the only piece of infrastructure of any substance that has been delivered in Galway by government or by local government has been the footbridge at the cathedral. Mm. Industry, private industry, is driving the rest of the change. Any of the developments that you see on the runway at the moment are also moving forward as a result of private industry.
So can I go back though to you as an independent, mm-hmm, with the backing of the Chamber? I mean, again, if you've sat in at meetings, yeah, council meetings, and you've been frustrated with them, mm-hmm, you've had meetings with council officials that you've been frustrated with. Mm-hmm. How do you change that? Do we need a directly elected mayor? Would you go for that role?
I think the directly elected mayor, and lots of people are looking at what's happening in Limerick, but it, yeah, makes sense because you then have somebody who has power at a local level to try and drive change.
And can be held accountable.
They can be held accountable. Absolutely, and I know the provisions and the legislation are there that even if it's a case that they're not delivering,
would you go for that if it came the way?
Absolutely, absolutely. And listen, I'm sure there are other wonderful candidates who would do the same. What I want to see, if that's at all possible and with the support of the people, what would be the best thing for Galway is that we have a re-energised team of elected representatives in City Hall come June. Because that's needed. And what's really good, Keith, we're at an interesting point in time. For the first time in over a decade, we'll have fully appointed CEOs in both the city and the county council, right? Yeah. Empowered to do their job. What they need is a willing cohort of councillors to support their role, but also to challenge in their role as well, to make sure that we are delivering on plan. Like if we look, and just as a very basic example, the Galway Transport Strategy is something that started in 2014, was launched in 2016. We're now at 2024. The statutory review was to take place, yeah, a couple of years ago. We're now overdue in a draft document even for now a metropolitan area strategic plan that there isn't cohesion and agreement on. That's just the plan. That's not even actually delivering the infrastructure within it. Now, I know certain projects are moving along through the planning phases, but we're not seeing delivery. And when you're looking at the minutes of council meetings, rather than having a cohesive approach with the councillors who are there, and there are some, as I say, brilliant councillors in there who, if elected, I would really look forward to work with. But we need some calm voices in there to say, folks, we can't continue to take the investments in our city for granted. Those businesses that have invested and that are employing thousands of people in really good jobs around our city, they're not going to continue to doing this if it's a case that things don't change.
But you're taking that from the confidential information you would have as chief executive of the chamber.
It's not confidential information. I think many...
I don't mean that in a negative sense now, but you know what's going to happen in the next 12
correct
to 24 months.
Every quarter, many of the leaders around our city have competitive review meetings where they're competing with places in India, where they're competing with South America, where they're competing on the basis of competitiveness. And the boardrooms are asking, you know, John, Mary, Tom, what's happening with that particular piece of infrastructure? Because that was in planning now for the last 10 years, or that was in the plans 20 years ago. Why hasn't it been delivered? Okay. How has it not been delivered?
Can I go back just to then? So you're going to go in the Sultan Loch Nakara, the city west, I think it's called.
Yes.
Like, you have some very strong people there, the likes of Donal Lyons, who topped the poll last
absolutely.
Time. The likes of Clodagh Higgins. So there is an independent seat. There is a Fine Gael seat. You've got Peter Kane and you've got John Connolly.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got two Fianna Fáil seats. There's a Labour seat. Neil McNeillis is there. There's a Green seat.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go?
I think that's for the people to choose, and for them to look and see who is it that they want to put forward. And to be fair, there are some good people in the list that you mentioned, and many of whom I have worked with over the last 5 years in this role. At the end of the day, politics is a tough game. And I will, over the next 8 weeks, be out and about. As I said, this morning was the official launch, and I will be explaining to people my view of the world and potentially what needs to happen. And it's up to them in terms of putting their trust and their faith in me. But I think one of the interesting
but
things...
But how do you make it happen when you get into City Hall?
You begin
I'm presuming
open,
that you
honest,
get elected because of the profile that you have. But open, how then do you change it?
Open, honest conversations. This is not about attacking people for
some
the sake of attacking them.
Some people are not used
to that. Well, that's where things need to change. That's where we need to have frank, open conversations.
That's politics, though.
It's politics, but you really have to be forceful in terms of trying to drive an agenda. And I think what's really helpful in this scenario is we'll have a new CEO appointed in City Hall next month. Right. That individual is going to be looking to be successful in their role. That's a huge start to build on the legacy that's there.
So he needs good counsellors to come
good counselors.
With
them. Absolutely. Okay. And to challenge behaviours of others if it's a case that they're not appropriate, but also to hold him to account potentially if it's a case that we're not delivering. And I think that's one of the huge things is there's a significant team already there who have been there for years, some who are brilliant and others who potentially need to be challenged as well.
Why did you not go for the City Central when it's where the Chamber is based?
The Chamber is based in the City Central, but I live in Salt Hill, and actually over the decade that I've been in Galway, I've always lived in the West Ward area. So it's more natural to me. I know people there. And again, I just want to be very honest and true to what it is I'm trying to achieve. I live in Salt Hill, so it makes sense to run in that area.
Kenny Deary sounds like a man who would get things done in Galway. I will definitely be voting for him. Well, I can tell you for the work that I've done with him, he gets things done. And other calls coming in just saying congratulations to Kenny for doing so. And somebody else said, when does he step down from the Chamber?
So the Chamber have issued a statement this morning. My last formal events will be this Friday. And obviously the team are going through a transition. And from a point of view of the membership, a recruitment process is starting this week. You'll see a transitional leadership come in place, of whom I will support and work in the background. But my last formal engagements will be this Friday. We have a big day in Galway with a number of visiting ministers, and also we have the US ambassador in town. So there's a lot of business dialogue and engagements with her.
And you couldn't do both, could you? Or would that not just be fair to you and to the Chamber?
To be fair, the Chamber has always, and Chambers of Commerce in general, are apolitical. And for the leaders to be effective in their role, they need to be able to work with everyone, irrespective of what party or what organisation they're in.
But I'm old enough to remember, indeed, when the Chamber of Commerce, the old Chamber of Commerce, had people that sat on the... looking at the likes of Micheál O'Higgins, I'm looking at Mr Flaherty, indeed, the former mayor. I'm looking at Paddy Ryan. I'm looking at John Coyle. I'm looking at all of those people who had a leg in both, and there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing necessarily wrong with it, and actually it's what's really important is the business community fund a significant chunk of the council budget.
Yeah.
And in that way, there's nothing wrong with having representation. I think one of the challenges you have is when those individuals are not saying there was anything wrong with it, when those individuals sat on City Council and also were in the business community, we were in a different time in Ireland from a political perspective, from an ethical perspective, and really standards of good governance now and integrity, you just have to be independent of an organisation in this sense, and particularly for the Chamber, I want to see that organisation flourish and grow. It is an amazing ambassadorial body for Galway and for the business community, and also trying to lobby for and create the conditions that are ideal in Galway. And that's really where I've come from in the last 5 years, is trying to push that agenda. What is that wonderful city of the future where, you know, you've got change in a positive way, where everybody feels they have a voice and they're part of the fabric of the community?
And can I ask you finally, you know, when you're elected, and if and when you're elected,
he's got.
That means a lot of work to be done. I mean, will you join the part? Would you join Independent Ireland? Would you join Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael? Would you join an independent grouping?
Well, you're asking crystal ball questions there in many ways. That
I am, but you have to have a thought process, I suppose, in your head. Are you going to stay? Are you just going to stay independent?
I'm running as an independent, and my positioning on where I want to go and what I want to do is very clear. It's to try and get in and just be that voice for change in a really positive way. And it's not like no one individual is going to boil the ocean, but there are good people there who need help and assistance, okay, and is trying to get in and amplify that.
And is local politics the end of your political career?
Sure, you can never answer that question, Keith. So is it something you're interested in as well? Listen, I'm hugely ambitious for the West, and I've always been very honest in that. Anyone who's listened to my speeches know that.
Yeah, and you have the energy.
Yeah.
Well done to you. Congratulations on your decision indeed. So do you now register with the council?
Yeah.
So is that process open now?
That process is, so the process is not open yet. The minister hasn't called the exact, even though we know the date, the minister has to call the election. And at that stage, I will be going forward and having 15 individuals within the constituency sign a document. They're called assenters who will put me forward to run formally.
So just 15?
Just 15. You have two choices. You either pay €100 and do it yourself, or you get 15 individuals from the constituency who will be very proud to put you forward. And thankfully I have a long list of people willing to do so, and fingers crossed that many more individuals will be supportive of the campaign between now and 7th June.
Can I wish you well, and thank you for popping into us this morning, and you're out since early morning, so the campaign is on. Thank you for joining us today. So Kenny Deary, who steps down from his role in the chamber on Friday following a very busy day, and is now, as he has told us this morning, going in the local elections, and he's going in the Galway City Council elections this coming June, and he's running as an independent. Quick commercial break, we're back just after these.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motorball. Drive happy in Windsor Motorball Galway with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.
Yeah, a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. The comment lines are open today. Lots of calls coming in, by the way. I have to say, if we're going to go for a directly voted mayor, will they have the executive power? Yes, they would have. Congratulations to Kenny Deary. He gets my vote, this caller said. And many other calls coming in there too, to him. And on WhatsApp over here, a caller just said, fair play to Kenny Deary. We wish him the very best of luck. And another call said, fair play to Mr. Kenny Deary. Tell him we need a ring road and join the rural party. He's badly needed, and they badly need him as well. He ain't going anywhere. For the Kenny Deary that I know for the last 5 years, he's the most driven person going. He will go a long way. He really will. Anyway, let me move on today, because the Minister of State for Business, Employment and Retail, Neil Richmond, joins me on the line, because we're looking at government increased costs of business grants that some people are really not indeed aware of, but he joins me on the line. Minister, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's a busy week for you. I'll talk about your week in a moment, so I will. These government increased costs for business, the ICOB grant, is open for applications. Why aren't people applying for it?
Well, I suppose it's an awareness thing, and a number of people are worried that this application is going to be onerous. It's not. It's not even an application. It's just a registration. All we need is for people who own businesses that paid commercial rates of less than €30,000 last year to go on to either Galway City Council or Galway County Council website and register. And literally all they're doing is confirming that the bank details are correct so that the local authority can transfer money into their account. That's it. Nothing more than that. But we are a little bit worried that only 16% of businesses across Galway have registered so far. There's just shy of 7,000 businesses entitled for these grants. And we really want to get the message out this morning, Keith, that if you're in business anywhere in the city or county, to go onto the local authority website, register, and you'll have a payment up to €5,000. It's a direct grant. It's not a loan. You'll have that in your account in the coming weeks.
Is there any catch in it? Will revenue come looking for it again? I mean, is there a catch in it that people aren't engaging?
Nope, there's no catch at all. We've spoken to a number of the business representative groups, spoke to a number of individual businesses across the country, rural and urban, and a number of people are going, well, is this like the TBEST scheme, or am I required to fill in loads of forms? It's literally a drop-down menu of about two questions, just to confirm that your bank detail is correct and that your business is still open. Then you're registered and you get the payment. As I said, it's a cash grant transferred straight into your bank account. There's no repayments, there's no interest, it's just a grant.
And why was this put together, can I ask you?
Well, it's a very simple response. The cost of business has been going up rapidly over the last 2 years. A couple of things outside the government control in terms of cost of energy, in terms of interest rates, but also we've increased, we being the government, have increased costs on labour in terms of putting up the national minimum wage, introducing what is now 5 statutory 6 days and moving towards pension and auto-enrolment. So we acknowledged that there is a need to address these costs. So Minister Coveney put together a package with myself and Derek Cleary of €257 million worth of grants that are paid out to 97% of businesses across the country over the coming weeks as just a small one-off grant at the start of the year, cognizant that so many businesses are facing rising costs. We've done an awful lot of evidence. We know that margins are getting tighter and we know that businesses need an element of relief. And this is one small measure of a number of measures that we're introducing to make sure that we truly back business, particularly small and medium businesses.
So you're saying because of the imposition and the extra costs that have been in that benefit employers and employees, this grant is there. So are we talking about all industry? Are we talking about pubs? Are we talking about restaurants? Are we talking about manufacturing? Are we talking about dentists? Are we talking about doctor surgery? Are we talking about anybody who pays rates to a local authority, either Galway City or Galway County?
Any business that paid commercial rates of under €30,000 last year will qualify for this grant. So if you paid up to €10,000 in commercial rates, you'll get between €2,000 and €5,000 worth of a grant. If you paid over €10,000 in commercial rates, you'll get a €5,000 lump sum grant. It's not aimed at the big companies with large turnovers who perhaps aren't seeing these costs. It's aimed particularly at SMEs. It doesn't matter what sector they're in, as long as they pay commercial rates. It was the easiest way for us to get a direct grant, a direct cash injection into businesses without unnecessary forms, without lots of different qualifying criteria. It's just a direct to source small relief for the first few months of the year.
Can I ask you then, is this, the new rateable valuation that's been done right across the country, indeed including Galway, and some people have appealed the rating that they've got in relation to the cost of rates, can it go on the previous years if they're over that 30,000?
It's just on the commercial rates paid in 2023. We look for the most up-to-date payment.
It's what they've paid. So Galway City Council, Galway County Council, get on board. It's a lot of money, €257 million.
It's a huge amount of money, but for us, it's a small amount for many businesses, but it could be the difference in a business keeping themselves open or allowing themselves to keep on a staff member for the tougher starting months of the year before we head into the tour season, which kind of really kicked off in the last fortnight.
Yeah. Can I ask you, a lot of things have kicked off in the last fortnight and your party's been in the middle of it as well, but I mean, the situation quite simply is Simon Coveney, you've worked very closely with him. I tried to get him on this morning indeed, but he made a decision yesterday. Was he pushed, do you reckon?
No, absolutely not. The Simon Coveney that I know, and I've known the man the entirety of my time in Fine Gael, he is very much a party man, a country man. He saw what was the best decision, if we're talking about a step change and renewal, and made that decision himself. And I think the plaudits and tributes that have been paid to Simon over the last 24 hours are absolutely fitting. Before I joined this department, as you know, Keith, I spent a lot of time working on Brexit with Simon and what he did for our country. It will go down in history.
That's why I think it's really, I know he, I mean, what he did was, he cleared the pitch indeed by speaking last week in government buildings with Simon Harris and making a decision and then to step aside. He also still has a young family and maybe he wants to spend time with them. But I think the legacy that he's left behind and the gentleman that he was in all the dealings that I had with him, he was one of the finest gentlemen that I've dealt with, excluding yourself, of course. I have to say that right now. But I mean, he was just, and he was always open and he was very honest. And I know from speaking to his political colleagues indeed, both independent and otherwise, if he was doing pairings or otherwise, he would always pick up the phone, give them a ring and say thank you to them. So he had that nice quality about him. But I mean, there's an awful lot of information gone with him if he doesn't go in the next election, and Cork will be bereft of representation.
Well, I don't think Cork is short of representation generally in government, with the tarnished Minister McGrath, but There's a huge changeover for Fine Gael as a party. This whole period of the last couple of weeks has been about renewal, about step change. I certainly do hope Simon will run in the next general election, but that's a decision for him and his family. And you do rightly mentioned his wife and his three young daughters. And the image I always have is himself and Julian Smith, the then Secretary of State, standing in front of Stormont, I think was it on Christmas Eve a number of years ago, having got the institutions back in power. You know, when most of us, and then the previous year he'd been in Brussels with Michel Barnier as we got a Brexit deal. So when most of us were spending time with our family getting ready for Christmas, Simon with three young daughters was absolutely doing the best for his country. But the information that he holds, the experience that he has as a minister, as a TD, I have no doubt that he's not leaving Fine Gael for a start. And he's always been so generous with his time with me. And I don't, no doubt it'll be the exact same for whatever colleagues come after him.
Maybe it's time to give time to his family and to his wife and to his new home and just to live life a little bit as well. Are you hoping that you will get the call from government buildings to come to Minister Simon Harris's office when he is Taoiseach? Would you like to go a little bit further up the chain and sit at the cabinet table?
Look, I'm not obsessed by individual position.
I'm
hoping for the best of the government. I'm absolutely more than happy to talk with Simon. I really like the job I have at the moment, and that's why I'm on primarily to talk to you. And I very much want to be part of Simon's plans for the party going into the next general election. And whatever he decides for me, I'll be more than willing to pitch in.
Hildegard Nocton is current chief whip indeed, and we haven't had a minister in the west of Ireland in Galway since Eamon O'Queeve, and that's a long number of years ago. He's still a TD, of course, but perhaps Hildegard might, or what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, well, absolutely. Hildegard's been an excellent whip for the last number of years. She's been a really prominent minister, super junior minister prior to that. So I imagine she's definitely going to be at the top of Simon's list and very central to the party's plans, not just for the last year of government, but going into the general election. She's been a truly brilliant minister, and the people of Galway are very lucky to have her.
Listen, thank you for joining us today. Again, just going back to the story that we started talking about was if you've paid rates of up to 30,000, if you're in business, go on to Galway City Council, depending on what authority you paid your rates to, or Galway County Council, and get further details from there. Minister Neil Richmond, thank you so much for joining us today on the programme. Quick commercial break, and we're back just after these. It's 9:40 on this Wednesday morning. It's a lovely morning now.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.
Now, good morning to you. What a lovely morning it is out there today. Morning indeed on this programme. I spoke about a funeral that was taking place in Merivale yesterday for Joe O'Gorman, and I said he was going to be one of the largest funerals that Merivale and Castlegar would have seen in a long number of years, and I was right. I've never in all of my lifetime seen such an outpouring of grief and support for the O'Gorman family and the extended O'Gorman family for Joe's funeral yesterday. There was two, so we got there at about 4:20, due to open indeed at 5. The doors are due to open at 5 from there, but the doors open at 4:30. But again, there was two queues going in right through until I think it was nearly 9:45 last night when they finished. So the funeral mass is on today in Castlegar, so there will be traffic restrictions in the area, and then the burial is right beside the racecourse there in that beautiful cemetery that's there. And there's roadworks there, so it's going to take time to get there. So just give yourself time to get to the church and indeed to the burial if you're heading that way. Let me go to Councillor Noel Larkin, who joins me on the line today. Noel, good morning to you. Noel, can you hear me okay there?
Hello, Keith.
Yes, Mr. Councillor Larkin, good morning to you. Thank you and welcome to the programme today.
Good morning.
I don't know, did you hear earlier on, but Kenny Deary has thrown his hat in the ring indeed. So you have, not in your constituency, by the way, but he has thrown his hat in the ring. So there's more people going. Listen, last week Justice Minister Helen McEntee proposed the introduction of a new bill to Cabinet. It proposed enhancing security and screening of migrants wishing to enter our country. And if we refuse anyone entry into Ireland at any point, the state will incur a fine of €25,000 by Europe. You feel very strongly about this.
Yes, indeed. And I suppose before we go ahead, I'd like to wish Kenny all the best. You know, it's going to be the Chamber's loss. He's been a great stalwart for Galway, and selling Galway out there for many years. And I wish him the best in his new venture.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm glad he's not running in my area.
let's come back though to the question of the day. Indeed, what's your reaction?
What got me going about this one really is, you know, they're going to strengthen security, and they're going to do more vetting at the migrants, which is great. I want to see that happening, but it needs to be done now. We have too many migrants. In my opinion, we have too many migrants in the country already. Why not stop any more coming in and let's deal with what we have here? Like, I mean, we have, in Galway City Council alone, we have 3,700 on the housing list. How are we supposed to take more migrants from any other country and house them? We have a massive housing shortage.
But Councillor Larkin, we are duty bound by European legislation to take these people in.
I understand that, Keith, but we're only a small country on the fringe of Europe. We have only 4.5 million people ourselves. How are we supposed to keep taking migrants in here at a rate that we are not able to handle? I mean, they said already, like, if there could be an extra 60,000 come in again this year now. Sure, I mean, we're going to be overrun. It's not that we don't want to help people. Of course we want to help people. But it seems high degree madness that we have to keep taking those in and we don't have the accommodation for them. I mean, there's people living in tents around Galway City, and we saw them in Dublin there recently, lying down along the street, like a line of tents in the street. So that can't be right.
So are you talking... Are you talking about asylum seekers, or are you talking about migrants, or are you talking about both?
Both, Keith. I'm pretty sure that the rest of Europe is not being inundated at the same level as what we are being. It's crazy what's happening at the moment. I mean, asylum seekers can come in and they shouldn't be allowed in if they've no passports or no identification papers. Shouldn't even get past the airport. Back out again. That's all that's in it. If you're coming in with no passport and no identification papers, there's a reason why. If we're taking people from Ukraine or Syria or wherever, well, Ukraine in particular, because they're European. I mean, we have to try and do our best for those because they're in a war torn country at the moment.
Yeah, but yet the figures though, Noel Larkin, the figures are that people are going home to Ukraine now.
Are they going home? Yes, perhaps, but they're still coming in at an alarming rate. Like, we have to say stop at some stage and let's deal with what we have here at the moment. That's the biggest crib that I have at the moment. We have to be able to deal with what we have here at the moment. And our local people that we have on our housing list, and that we're not able to cater for those at the moment. They have to be catered for as well. They can't be forgotten. So we just don't have enough for housing. Like, why doesn't the government take the initiative to incentivize builders to build houses? Most builders that I know will tell you, it's just not cost effective to build houses at the moment.
Okay,
but why not incentivize them? Why not take the VAT off all the building material and say every house that you come here, every affordable house that you build, will subsidize it for you? That would be a lot better use of our phones at the moment.
Sorry, no, there's a long delay on the phone, so there is, and it's amazing from Well Park to Sandy Road we can get that of a long delay. But anyway, can I put it to you though that are you just scaremongering at this stage, or are you just trying to grab the headlines because there's an election coming the way, or do you genuinely stand over what you're saying?
I genuinely stand over it, Keith. I mean, every day I'm taking phone calls from people that are looking for accommodation and need accommodation and need houses for their families. And we're still bringing in people from outside the country without looking after our own first. And this is not an election ploy. This has been going on now for quite a while. But when I heard what Minister McEntee was doing, I was saying, it's madness. Why not just go to Europe, stand up to Europe and say, no, We're taking no more until we deal with what we have here at the moment. We are inundated. And it's only going to get worse. It's only going to... There's palpable fears from people out there about people coming into their areas and that they're not being consulted with, they're not being spoken to about. We know what the Irish are like. We know what... There is giving, as more giving than anybody else in the world. But I think everybody at the moment now is getting sick of it at the minute, because it's continuous, and it seems to be bad decision after bad decision by our government. Instead of standing up and dealing with it, standing up to Europe and saying, no, we have enough in our island, we are taking no more, we're going to deal with what we have at the moment. Okay. And I think that would be only fair.
Can I put it to you another way, indeed? Is it not successive, and yep, I'm talking about many successive governments that have failed to build housing, and I go back to the 1950s, 60s, 70s and 80s, there was plenty of social housing available, there was plenty of homes made available to people. Right. Absolutely. And then whatever happened then in 1980, it stopped. And then from 1980 to 2024, and we've had this glut and all these things happening, and all we've been doing effectively is lining the pockets of landlords, because there was very few houses built.
Very few houses built. Back in the 40s and 50s, like, we were able to build all those council houses, and we were able to build roads and open up railway stations. Why not now? What's wrong with it now, you know? It's just, they're saying the cost, the builders are telling you the cost of building is too high at the moment.
Mm.
And they cannot build individual houses like that. And if you look at it in Galway, there are very, very few building sites in Galway. And most of them that I know of in Dublin, where there's 200 and 300 blocks of apartments being built, they're all being built by vulture funds and pension funds that are not going to go to the market, they're going to be let. So it's a letters market at the moment. But if the government use some of this excess funds that we have to incentivize house building, look what happened in the late 90s and the early 2000s. We had a glut of buildings. Now, I don't want to go back there. That was madness what was going on as well. But because the prices of property were higher, there was a lot of building going on. And we said, where's all these people going to come from for these houses and hotels that we were building?
Mm.
But they came. Now we have a shortage. So start again. The council haven't got the wherewithal now to build houses themselves. They don't have the staff. At best, they have maintenance. It's going to have to depend on private industry to build houses and cater for the needs of the need that's there at the moment.
Caller said today, Keith, it's hard to listen to Noel Larkin being populist. He was racist before, and now he's at it again, this caller said. Another caller said, I find it very strange, this caller said, that since the social welfare decreased, it's almost halved the numbers coming in and more going home. Were they really fleeing from war? This caller said, yes, they were. And other calls coming in. A breath of fresh air. I've listened to Kenny Deary, and I'm now listening to Noel Larkin. This is what we need in council to make a change.
Yeah. Well, you know, Keith, they can call me whatever they like. You know, I know these little populists that pump up there, like, and they're keyboard warriors, and they're well able to hide behind the keyboard and give me all. If I'm a racist because I stand up and say what's out there in my community, and if I'm telling the truth, I'll stand by it. They can call me whatever they like. But why don't they come up and tell me to my face then? No, it's easier hide behind the keyboard, you see, and that's what a lot of them are doing, the keyboard warriors. Stay behind the keyboard. You're safe there. Or else put yourself out in the public and stand up for what's correct.
Can I ask
and
you?
I'm not a racist.
No, and I'm not accusing you of being a racist, but I'm just giving you the comment that came in there, so don't take offence to me. No, you'd be foolish to do that now.
No, not at all. Don't shoot the messenger.
Can I just ask you, though, I mean, you have joined Independent Ireland, so you have.
Yes.
Are you carrying the view there of Independent Ireland as the grouping?
I am. Yeah.
So you're speaking on that behalf.
Yeah, and Independent Ireland, unlike other parties, you know, if you have an opinion yourself, you're allowed to give that opinion.
Mm.
You won't get the big stick shaken at you from Dublin to say no. I'm going to suspend you for a couple of months now because you spoke out of turn.
Well, yeah, that's just...
That's what Independent Ireland's about.
Yeah, I've less than 40...
Independent ideas. Sorry, Keith, I'm cutting across you there now. There must be a delay in the line.
There is a delay between Wellpark and here. I think I could throw a line up to you quicker. In 36 seconds, I have to say to you, I mean, I'm asking that question because somebody said, I agree 100% with Noel. He's spot on. Enough is enough and we've done enough. But again, when Noel Thomas and Seamus Walsh said that... The inn was full or worse to that effect. They both were threatened with suspension and have now gone with Independent Ireland as well. So it's, and Noel is 100% right. He's talking sense and send him to Dublin to sort it out. Councillor Noel Larkin, thank you indeed for joining us today on the programme. Now let's head towards the 10 o'clock news and we're back just after that. A lot of comments coming in and keep them coming in to us, please. 086 38 33 553 and we'll give you those after news.
Galway talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.